So, welcome to the first ever podcast for Mission Freaking Sandy. I'm the your host, Tyler Hall.
He's not the first.
With Matt Whiteside's in studio with me.
This is second or third-ish podcast.
Yeah, but it's really the first official one that our that Taylor would actually let us post on the website. So,
if this ever goes up.
If this ever really goes up, which is probably not ever going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
In fact, it's on an iPhone, so who knows what the quality is actually going to end up being like.
But you can look forward to a podcast every week, usually on Thursdays around 2.
No, don't ever promise something you can't ever hold up to.
Well, that's why we have to promise them, so we can possibly hold up to them.
And what Thursdays?
Well, that's
why before movies come out.
We see them before they actually come out, like professional reviewers.
Okay, so last week, The Dark Knight Rises came out in theaters.
We totally saw it before most
people. Yeah, we saw it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it a lot. I thought it was the best one of the whole trilogy.
Controversy.
To speak for Taylor, he did not like it that much.
He liked it in heart.
He wanted to like it.
Not vocally. I think he did like it.
Yeah, he just wanted to argue a little bit.
Yeah, he just likes. He just doesn't like joy.
Well, what'd you think of the film, Matt?
Oh, I thought it was good.
Yeah? Where would you place it in the trilogy? After the second?
Yeah, I guess second.
Yeah.
The first one, I think, is cool.
I like the first one a lot. I think it's the first one is easily the third best Batman movie of all time.
easily.
Yes.
Have you seen Catwoman, Tom?
No, I haven't.
It's but does that even count?
Yes.
But it's close.
For those who haven't seen it, just a heads up, you can read a Catwoman review by Matt Whiteside on the website up now.
Uh-huh. Now, I chose not to give it a star rating because I don't believe in putting numbers on art.
That's actually not true. We believe very highly in putting numbers on art. In fact, that's the only way we can judge art.
But if it was going to get a star rating, it would be maybe in the 5 range.
No, there's a lot of controversy around this film. A lot of people feel, a lot of critics feel it's one of the, it might be the weakest of the trilogy.
Name one.
Lots of them.
Besides Taylor.
Almost all of them.
Okay.
Slash Film, Collider. You do this after.
Shoot. Right now we're watching the trailer for the second Batman movie to inspire us.
Yes, I didn't even remember any of this happened. But, no, we actually experienced it all in a marathon, which I don't know if it's the best way to set up for the third one, but it worked out really well. We saw it in IMAX, which I would say if you're going to see the movie, you definitely should see it in IMAX.
Yeah, I've seen all the Batman movies, or the 3. I don't mean to brag.
You've seen all 3?
Uh-huh.
Really? In IMAX even?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Uh-huh. I fell asleep towards the last one.
Now, we didn't see it in the real big IMAX, the real IMAX. We saw it in the digital IMAX.
Yeah.
Theater.
We're thinking about suing.
Yeah. But if you're going to see it, definitely see it in that format. That's how Christopher Nolan envisioned it, I imagine. And he's pretty much a true maker, master of his craft.
It was a good show. Or a good setup they had going.
Yeah.
They had Batman trivia, which Taylor was not a fan of. It upset him to a great degree. That they didn't ask obvious Batman questions. Like, what is Batman's real name? Taylor would have enjoyed that. They asked, like, how many cars blew up during the second film?
That was a tough one.
Yeah. I remember this trailer being pretty cool when it came out.
All the trailers were great. For all the movies.
I don't know if the audience can hear this.
Or any of us. to see yourself become the villain.
So split up into three acts, I guess. So split up into three acts. I would say The Dark Knight Rises. The first act, I would say, was the weakest.
Of Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
I would say it was
kind of cluttered, I thought.
Yeah. If you've never seen it before, it's probably the most interesting.
You'd be a little bit lost.
I mean, it's most interesting in that you're most interested in what's happening right after the second movie.
Oh, yeah. True, yeah. Yeah, I guess the setup would be that there's an 8-year difference, and Christian Bale's now like a middle-aged man.
Spoilers.
If you haven't seen the movie, then we're not going to give away too big of spoilers, just basically the first act of the movie.
But
yeah, he's just basically this old man, crippled-ish now. Mm-hmm. One thing I found fascinating was that he lost his first fight to Bane. And Bane cripples him more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Batman presumably has a broken leg and back now.
Yes. And then in his second fight, he wins.
Yeah, but...
And I think the correct medical diagnosis for how he is able to overcome all this is that he's Batman. And for all these arguments and all these naysayers that have all these, like, arguments about how the film, like, has these loopholes, how do you get back to Gotham? Okay, I should say spoilers. Rewind all this. How do you get back to Gotham?
Easily. Batman.
How do you find time to light that bat thing on fire when the city was like in turmoil?
He's been doing that for days before he decided to show back.
How did he beat Bane with a broken back and everything?
He willpower.
Well, it's the same thing how he was able to beat Ra's al Ghul and the Joker in the first two. It's the same thing how he was able to overcome, like, this vaporizing water drug system in the first one. He's Batman. Mm-hmm. And really, that's the answer for every question you could ask in these movies.
Yeah, that's true. But he should have lost the second fight. there's no getting around that loophole.
The third one was the most epic by far.
It had the most stuff.
Yeah, it was the grandest scale.
Yeah.
Emotional.
Some critics might say too big a scale.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
It couldn't hold up.
For its length, I would say it's a 2-hour-45-minute movie, and it could have even been longer. It probably needed to be longer.
I would almost give credit that he used almost no CG, which would be something I imagine most directors would do.
That's true, yeah.
Show a city being taken over in siege.
That's true. Well, the movie did cost $200 million.
That's true.
So.
Then they probably shut off many streets over many days.
That's true. Yeah, well, yeah. And they used that stadium.
Probably had more extras than any movie I can think of.
Oh, yeah. I think that is actually a record that they did use the most extras. Mm-hmm. And yet the stadium was still, like, half empty.
Yeah,
which is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But I guess the stadium holds like 80,000 people, so it's a little understandable.
Bane didn't pick a very good game to blow up.
Yeah, it was the blowout.
There's kind of other stuff going. So, for those who... you've obviously seen the movie. Or else you wouldn't have got past this spoiler game.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, we apologize, but that's kind of dumb on your part.
I do like the setup that it's just been 8 years... And no crime has been going on, basically.
Well, yeah, he fixed it all.
Yeah, Batman's been just going crazy. He's got no girlfriend. He's just sitting in his mansion all day. And it never says how he broke his leg.
Well, I don't think he broke his leg. I think over the years of being Batman, he just kind of, his leg kind of gave out. He like, how long do you think an ordinary man could be Batman? And I think that's what Christopher Nolan's movie kind of tries to envision.
Okay. That's fair.
Like, you see in the first movie, you see how he gets beat up. Like, he jumps from a building onto, like, that staircase. How many hits like that can he possibly take?
Well,
how many times can he fall from a building onto the ground?
How long do you think an ordinary man could be Bane?
Bane's not an ordinary man.
I guess.
Bane's like magic.
Bane is like a superhero even without any kind of training.
That's true. Well,
he had training.
Let's talk about Bane for a second.
Yeah, Bane, also controversial.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy out in the world. A lot of people, I don't think, are giving Bane enough credit because they're focusing too much on Heath Ledger's performance from the last movie.
Which is not as good as Tom Hardy's.
Well, Tom Hardy
puts an amazing.
I will say Tom Hardy had a
English accent.
Had a hard, time. Uh-huh. I mean, he was trying to convey emotion with a mask on.
Yeah,
which is something that's pretty hard to do, I imagine.
Yeah, a lot of eye widening.
Yes, he's a very good eye actor.
Uh-huh.
He even cried at one moment in the film.
Oh, that's spoilers.
They already know this is not spoiler-free, I think.
He has quite an amazing voice. I don't know how they achieved such an amazing sound.
It's true. I will say, if there's one problem with the voice, is that it's too loud. But you could almost take that it...
That's part of his superpower.
That maybe his mask just makes his voice just omni-like present.
Oh, yeah. And available, like, God speaking yeah. to everybody.
Yes, I don't know how many other people have noted this. I feel like a lot of people... I probably thought about it at one point, but his voice is louder than the soundtrack.
Oh.
So it's almost breaking the fourth wall.
And airplanes.
Yes.
It's like 10 times louder than both those.
I would definitely say if he's probably not better than the Joker in my mind, but he's a strong second. I think he's better than Roz and Scarecrow. I think he's way better than Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bane
Scarecrow
is,
was... kind of like the Joker. They were both
mental
foes.
That's true. Bane is his only physical foe, really.
I guess the Joker was a little bit more violent.
Yeah. I guess I would say that,
Bane's backstory also never really fleshed out.
Well, Bane's the only one with any kind of backstory of any of the villains.
He has...
Joker never had one.
No, Bane has no backstory at the end. Besides that he tried to protect...
Well, yeah, but I would say that his backstory, that he was from that that prison, and he was with the League of Shadows and all the Ra's al Ghul, that's more of a backstory than the Joker, Scarecrow, or Ra's ever had.
Ah, that's true. There's
a
small backstory.
Nolan has never given any of his villains a backstory. Well, they've just, like, let them drop into Gotham.
Ra's al Ghul now has a little bit more of a backstory.
Well, he has a relationship with Batman.
Who?
Ra's.
Well, he has a relationship.
Oh,
well,
you mean his daughter.
His wife was taken from him.
I got what you're saying. Yeah, his wife was
taken
from him. Another article on the website now is Taylor Shortle has an article up about...
if you haven't seen the website.
If you haven't read the article yet, there's an article up called our Fans Take Perspective on...
If you're one of those freeloaders who just listens to our iTunes subscription...
The article is up. It's about how Liam Neeson or Ra's al Ghul from Batman Begins is actually the same guy from Taken.
Uh-huh. Both of their families were taken.
Yes, it is mentioned specifically in the film that his wife was taken from him.
And presumably he found them and killed them.
Yeah. But maybe he didn't. Maybe that's why he lives his life now as Ra's al Ghul.
We haven't seen Taken 2 yet.
Honestly, I haven't read the article either.
Yeah.
It's really long.
The expert on that article is not present.
No, the expert isn't present yet, but that he'll probably be edited in post.
But the point is, Bane is the most sophisticated of all villains.
Bane is the most physical and the most...
Bane is probably a literary genius.
He is a very smart man.
Oh my God, his accent is so smart. You could easily see him reading Shakespeare, drinking a cup of tea.
That's true. And you could not, however, see him being with Talia al Ghul in the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a commentary on appearance. Like, people perceive him as, you know, evil and scary, but he's really quite a smart, nice guy. He does bad things. That doesn't mean he's a bad person. That's kind of the theme of the film.
That's the theme? That's his character arc?
It's not what we do that defines
us. I would say he's... No, it is what we do that defines us. Yes.
It's how cool our voice is that defines us.
No. If that was true, then yes, he would be one of the coolest men alive.
Yeah.
I would say that I heard the argument brought up that he's just like a henchman to Talia al Ghul, that he's basically just carrying out her bidding.
That's possibly true.
But, like, I would say that's all counteracted at the very end, where, like, as soon as Talia leaves, he's like, I'm going to kill you now. You know, which is exactly what she told him not to do.
But she sort of betrayed him.
Who, Bane?
Not really, I guess. Almost. She kind of disagreed with him, didn't she?
How?
I don't know. I felt, in the moment, like there was some sort of conflict between them, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean, it just shows that he's not really that big of a henchman if he's just gonna, like, as soon as she leaves, be like, do whatever he wants.
Oh, he's clearly the brains of the project.
Yeah, she definitely.
She did absolutely nothing to help anything. Except whine.
She did stab Batman.
Which Bane... I guess Bane was losing for some reason.
Yeah, Bane was almost about to die. Okay. I feel like Batman was about to kill him.
Okay.
Because he gave him his permission to die. That's true.
We don't know how that fight really would have turned out if it wasn't interrupted by stabbings.
Pretty sure he would have lost. Pretty sure Bane would have died.
We don't know that.
We do know. I feel like it was...
Just because Bane's little gas mask thing.
Honestly, Bane's probably still alive in this universe. It's not like the city blew up or anything. Catwoman shot him.
Spoilers, Catwoman, like, shot at a wall and it kind of knocked him back a couple feet and you never see him again.
Yeah.
he just got... He's just on the ground behind them. He's fine. Maybe pretended to be dead so he can come
back. He'll be the one who kills Robin in the sequel.
He'll be on the first flight to France to punch Bruce Wayne in the face. Killing him instantly.
That's another funny thing, I think, is that... that Bruce Wayne, this really famous person, one of the most famous billionaires on the planet, is just sitting on a restaurant in France.
Well, in France, he's not that famous. That's like...
He's still one of the most famous billionaires on the planet.
I guess. That's like saying...
First of all, nobody's connected, really, that Bruce Wayne was Batman, but they're both dead now.
It's possible that Bruce Wayne's not super famous. He's just, like, famous in, like, kind of fancy upscale circles. With, like, in the city.
I don't know.
Like if there's some super rich guy in New York, we probably don't really know about him.
I guess you could see it that way. But I think we know about a guy who basically, like, owns his city.
Okay, it's almost presumed he's a lot like Donald Trump.
I think it's presumed he's like Tony Stark.
Well, he's, like, to a realistic person, he's like Donald Trump. Like, he puts his name up on town.
Yeah, okay. Maybe, okay.
But it's almost like Donald Trump's kids.
No, I'd say more famous than Donald Trump, though.
He's going to wear a disguise in France. He's going to put on a mustache. He'll talk differently. And let's be completely honest, he's not going to be in France more than a few days before he gets bored.
That's true. That's fair. I'm trying to think what other kind of semi-problems I had. Like, none of these are problems that detract from the film, because I always, like, I don't know.
It's more unexplained stuff.
Yeah, which I don't think it needed to explain, but they're all just like...
To be fair, there's less question in the other movies to explain stuff that's not...
Yeah, but it's the other movies are a lot less, they're on a lesser scale,
right.
And they don't have to fit in as much in as much time.
They probably didn't have to put so many new characters in the movie.
I mean, Batman was trying to... This movie probably would have been even better if it was split into two. They could have fit a lot more in a lot more time. But
that also would have been a kind of a cop-out.
Yeah, I agree. But another thing I thought was a little funny was that everybody knew he was Batman by this movie, pretty much. Except for at the end, it took Gary Oldman the whole... movie to figure out he was Batman. He was pretty much the last one to know.
Well, not everybody. Just
a fair amount of people.
Bane,
Talia, Robin.
Well, it's always been... He's always kind of thought he doesn't really want to know. Who? It was better that he doesn't know.
Who?
Who?
Gary Oldman? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Gary Oldman, like, he wants to live in bliss the whole movie.
Right.
But, like, still, it was so painfully obvious, I think, by, like...
Well, he's been avoiding it so there's no, like, conflict of interest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. He's just, like, been painfully in bliss. Just like, no, I don't want to know. But, like, he... It's so obvious that by the end, everyone else knows but him.
No, Gary Oldman.
Yeah,
Gary Oldman's really... He's in it. He gets cut out of the movie after, like, the first act.
Yeah.
So I mean, he comes back people,
in the
honestly.
Third. He comes back in the third and has a pretty prominent role, though.
This is probably the old... Well, I guess there's... I guess in tradition with the second one, there's almost more of the bad guys than the actual Batman.
I don't know. This one I felt was a lot about Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. There's almost... Yeah. But like physical time on the screen.
There's more Bruce Wayne than almost anybody in this movie, I'd say. Maybe more so than even Batman, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Oh, Bruce Wayne is definitely his character arc in this movie. Which I thought was really well done, like how he got broken and then he came out of the quote unquote Lazarus pit is what I would say was the prison.
Yeah, that part
prison.
Was probably the weakest part I think of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was kind of uplifting, inspiring ish.
I like the idea, but maybe. it was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the prison was really weird for some reason. Like, there was no problems in the prisoner. He didn't have to fight any prisoner.
Well, I feel like they weren't really that bad at prisoners.
Pretty
well kept
taken care of.
Yeah.
They had pretty good food. Well, they had, like, employees in the prison.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think Bane pretty much just runs that prison.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
That's another thing. I just feel like they didn't just need to explain it. You can just infer certain things.
Yeah, but it's almost like, put him in a harsher prison.
Then what?
Put him in a harsher prison than you have to make a hard jump to get
out. Well, the thing was is that nobody had ever done it. Well, and it gives you false hope. I liked that a lot because, like, he failed a couple times and he already had a broken back.
Yeah.
He failed a couple times and probably should have killed him.
He fell once more than I thought he would.
But, I don't know. I thought that was really good. I really liked the music that was during it. I just thought it was, like, kind of an uplifting part of the movie that showed how Batman got his spirit back.
It was okay.
In, like, the Lazarus Pit in the comics, I guess it, like, shows that, like, how he healed himself and came back, and Batman came back from the dead.
Yeah, I don't know. Bane didn't clearly wanted him to come back, but for some reason was surprised when he came.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bane wanted it, but I didn't think he thought it would happen.
I guess.
Yeah. He wanted to face him again.
He didn't think anybody was as cool.
Yeah.
As maybe him?
I would say that was probably the second act, pretty much, was Bale coming, was Bale in the prison. And I like that part a lot, but the third part was the, epic conclusion, I would say.
Right.
When they're in the city, and,
which could have easily been two movies in itself.
Yeah, they fit a lot into the third act. The third act was basically Harry Potter Part 2.
Bane.
Which was a whole movie. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Bane. Pretty handily took control of the entire city.
Yeah. He definitely succeeded where everyone else failed so far in the franchise. He had the whole city at his disposal. Fear and terror were throughout.
Oh, yeah. He probably killed everybody in the city. It's not really explained if he did or didn't. It's almost implied.
That's another great moment I felt like. This was the most emotional I felt like, you know, even though you know Batman's coming back to the city, and the third act, it pretty much starts off with Bale walking up to Catwoman, I just felt like, sweet, Batman's back. Like, duh, it was gonna happen anyways, but it's just cool how it did.
Some of the criticisms people have is that it's more fantastical than the rest of them.
I like it, more unexplained things.
Oh, well, more unrealistic.
Okay, yeah. I'd agree.
Which, it's not like the other ones were that realistic.
Yeah. people
technically, but they're viewed as being
realistic. Yeah, people like to overrate how realistic the Batman movies really are. They're realistic for superhero movies, sure. But they're still not as...
It's more they're well done.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can believe.
They're shot very realistically.
Yeah.
And
besides the kind of hokey atomic bomb, everything in this movie is equally well done.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the atomic bomb was the MacGuffin in this movie. Mm-hmm. And
I still think is a throwback to old Batman.
I was perfectly okay with it, even if it was just put in there like a normal MacGuffin.
I mean, not necessarily that much weirder than microwave.
Yeah, it's no weirder at all than some microwave mirror that vaporizes the drugs in the water
system. It looked a little bit more fake. The microwave thing looked a little bit more like...
Yeah, it looked a little bit fake because you're like... Because having a giant ball like fly through, yeah.
Timer.
Yeah, but it was the nuclear bomb was a good MacGuffin to like actually have this epic feeling that the whole city could blow up, like actually have an epic feeling that it could all end right there.
And yeah, you almost believe it could, or some part.
Yeah, I mean, since
or this you believe was pretty handily that Batman
could die,
kill himself.
Yeah, well, you always knew that this was going to be the end of this trilogy, and you knew Christopher Nolan had enough pull in Hollywood to say, no, I'm done, this is the final say on Batman. So you thought there's a good chance Batman could die, so the whole movie had more of an emotional, like, draw in that sense than I feel like almost any superhero movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not enough movies have the superhero die.
Oh, it's almost impossible for a movie right now.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few years when they're on Iron Man 5 and Captain America 5. Superman.
They still copped out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was okay with the ending.
They didn't really, I don't think they copped out with Bruce Wayne necessarily. I think that was just more of a kind of, he wanted to end it on a nice note.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that he changed the ending at all. I'm just saying it was a little bit different than, like, straight up killing him.
Yeah, but it's almost like that's what was planned. Even though he kind of went with a romantic comedy kind of ending.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was really, it was a cool ending. I liked it. I loved the ending. I would have liked it maybe more if he died. I don't know, really.
I maybe would have liked it more, honestly, if they didn't show him still alive, but it implied maybe he was still alive.
Like, if they just cut, like, with Alfred smiling.
Yeah.
I thought that's actually what they were going to do. But at the same moment, I was like, please show him, please show him, please show him, because I just wanted it to know. No, but I'm the guy who thought Harry Potter should die in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I, like, love the books and everything, he should have always died. Superheroes do not die. No.
Harry Potter, so no.
Main characters don't die enough in movies.
Uh-huh.
I
can't think of one person who's ever died in a movie.
Well, we'll get back to that.
I'm waiting for James Bond to die in a movie.
That'd be pretty epic.
Sherlock Taylor Holmes would not like that.
Oh, he wouldn't like that.
Catwoman is okay.
Catwoman was great. I loved her. A lot better than what like everybody thought she would be.
Yeah.
I thought she was actually maybe the strongest point of the whole film. Up there.
Really?
She's one of the top...
She had good fight scenes.
Yeah, I thought she was a really well-done character. Like, I would even watch a I'd maybe watch a spinoff of a female Catwoman.
Towards...
Which is a great compliment, considering the last Catwoman. I think
the parts with her in the suit were kind of a little bit... Maybe with her and Batman both in their suits was the most superhero-y kind of comic book-y kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll agree. I liked what they did with her ears. They made it like her goggles or whatever.
She was okay. She did steal some stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought she was good.
She was in prison for all of 10 seconds. In a male prison for whatever reason.
Well, because she was too dangerous.
Oh, yeah. She was going to kill all the chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not going to kill all the dudes.
No, but I thought the ending was pretty satisfying. The final fight with Bane was pretty good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually hate the fight scenes. What? I don't know if you've read that all the reviews from other people.
Have Taylor been writing more stuff?
Nope. Everybody. It's pretty much almost unanimous.
I can see the second fight scene.
Yeah.
That was, I think, actually...
Well, I think people just don't like... People just don't like that these armed men basically just run up to Batman, get disarmed, and drop to the ground. And my argument would be, there's really no other way to do it. There's no other way, unless you're gonna...
In, like, the last fight?
Yeah. Because the whole army was armed.
Oh, I got you. What, are they gonna shoot Batman?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I mean... a lot of people cite the first Batman as being a good example of how action scenes with Batman should be done, you know, in the night, where he's just, like, stealthily taking out people. But you can't do that during daylight in a grand epic battle.
That's true. But you can say that about any movie with crowd fight scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they just kind of avoid the main character.
Yeah, yeah, I had no problem with that.
It's like, oh, hey, I could take out Gladiator right now. I don't know why I'm not trying. Because he's too good.
But no, I felt it was the third one of the trilogy was a really epic finale. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have asked for more.
I can ask for whatever I want.
Well, okay, well, you go ahead. I was just really satisfied with the ending. I give it 5 stars out of 5.
Oh, I'm satisfied.
What do you give it?
I give it 5 stars.
Give it 5 stars. 5 stars out of 5 for me, 5 stars out of 5 for Matt. We'll update you on Taylor's review later. Catch us next time on the podcast. We'll talk about exciting news like Michael Fassbender's new Assassin's Creed. We'll talk about that next time.
It's not that new.
The
epic conclusion.
We'll give you a review on some other movie that just came out recently.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was pretty good.
That's the end of the podcast.
We haven't discussed everything yet.
Okay, fine. Edit this around it.
Also, in this scene I'm about to see, I changed my mind once Tom Hardy started pulling out his warrior fighting. You remember that?
No.
Oh, when, like, he punches, he just totally goes in.
Oh, yeah, when he just, like, starts dominating, yeah. When he, like, throws him into the wall and just starts hitting the wall.